We're pleased to be joined by Brian Termail. He is the Vice President of Public Affairs and Workforce at the Associated General Contractors of America. Brian, first of all, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you're with the Associated General Contractors of America. For those that do not know what that is, what is the Associated General Contractors of America?
That's a great question. We're the trade association for the commercial construction industry. So we represent all the small, medium, and large-sized businesses that do all kinds of construction in this country, everything except for single-family home building.
All right. And so all the talk has been about immigration reform and all that, but according to your reports and surveys and things like that, the construction industry doesn't have enough workers, and they need, believe it or not, more foreign-born workers, who are legal, by the way. You need more workers. That's the bottom line, correct?
Yeah. The bottom line is we need more workers, and the other bottom line is we would love and prefer to have all those workers come from the United States, right? Let's just be clear. But the challenge is that since the early 80s, we as a nation have decided that we are going to encourage high school students around the country to go to college, accumulate a bunch of debt, and then work in the so-called knowledge economy. So when you look at federal funding for education, 4 out of every $5 the federal government spends on education are spent encouraging high school children to go to college and get a four-year degree. And we, as a result, neglect what used to be called vocational education. They now call career and technical education. So we don't actually have a pipeline in the United States for exposing students to construction skills or to even have them think about the fact that construction's the career, you know, career opportunity for them. So our members are desperate for workers.
All right. And of course, you need the more foreign-born workers. But let's go back to what you were saying here, in that you would love to have more American-born workers to work. But you talk about that pipeline that's getting dry. Is there a way that we can, a way to get more American-born? You mentioned there needs to be a pipeline. Is there an idea for that pipeline?
Here's what we need to do. I think it's three things. One, absolutely, we need to spend more money or invest more money, whatever word you want to choose, on career and technical education in this country. There's a bill in Washington called the Perkins Act. The Perkins Act funds all of what we knew as vocational education. We spend less on the Perkins Act today than in actual real dollars, not sort of fake Washington dollars, but in actual real dollars, than we did back in 2001, even though we've got more students and more construction needs than in 2001. So we need to probably double funding for the Perkins Act so it's easier for school districts in the Shenandoah Valley and the rest of the country to put in place those career and technical education programs to teach construction skills and to expose students to construction as a career opportunity. But even if we got that doubled funding tomorrow, it would take a couple of years to kind of rebuild that pipeline. And what are we going to do in the meantime? We're obviously not going to stop building things, right? We're not going to stop fixing up fire stations or improving schools, building factories, adding to hospitals, expanding JMU and other universities around the country. So what we need to do in the short term is we need to create a temporary, a lawful, and a trackable and a taxable visa program that's dedicated to construction. So we need to bring some folks who've got construction skills into this country for a short period of time. We know who they are. We know where they're from. We know they've got a safe background. And we know that we can tax them so we're benefiting from their economic activity. So we can keep building things in this country even as we rebuild those school programs to expose students to construction. And then the third thing we need to do is we need to secure the border, right? We need to stop having a large pool of undocumented workers in this country. Because no one benefits from having undocumented workers in the country. Not the workers who can easily be exploited, not businesses who can be underbid by unscrupulous contractors who are taking advantage of undocumented workers. And again, there are probably some broader questions about public safety that come with having a pool of undocumented workers in this country. Now, the other thing we need to think about with undocumented workers is we need to, as we are doing as a country, get the bad ones out of this country and get them out ASAP, right? We need to get the folks who are engaged in criminal activity, the folks who are national security threats, the folks who have been ordered by a judge to leave the country. We need to get them out. And I think the argument in Washington is just about how you do that, not if you do it. But the other thing we need to think about is we've got a bunch of people who, yes, committed this original sin of coming to the country without permission. But many of them are working hard every day. They're putting their boots on every morning. They're showing up to work and they're contributing to the American dream. We need to have a serious conversation about what do we do with them? Do we really think we can ask them to leave, or do we want to give them some kind of like a penalty and an earned path, not the citizenship, but to some kind of legal status where we can actually tax them and track them and make sure that they're fully participating in the American dream and paying taxes at the same time.
We're talking with Brian Termeo, Vice President of Public Affairs and Workforce at the Associated General Contractors of America. And they need more workers, whether it be American born, foreign born, they need more workers. In fact, how many new workers is the construction industry going to need moving forward?
That's a good question. Is there any number of estimates? Best guess is at least half million nationwide in the next year alone. But you got to remember that, like a lot of the rest of the economy, we've got an aging workforce. So even if construction demand tapers off over the next couple of years, there are going to be so many men and women in the construction industry today who are hanging up the tool belt, moving down to Florida to go fishing or whatever people do when they retire, that we're going to have strong demand for construction career opportunities for years to come. And the other thing to think about is construction on average pays almost $37 an hour at this point nationwide. That's 18% more than the average job in the United States. And the other thing to think about is that most pathways into construction don't require people to get a four-year college degree and all the debt that comes with it. Or another way to think about that is when you drive down that, down the road and see a construction project and you see all the pickup trucks parked in the lot where the workers park, those pickup trucks by and large are paid for because the people don't have debts that they're, the workers don't have debts they're trying to pay off. They're earning good money and they don't have to put it towards the college loan.
Now, talk about what construction does for the state of Virginia, especially the gross domestic product, as we are talking with Brian Termeo, Vice President of Public Affairs and Workforce at the Associated General Contractors of America.
It's a big contributor to the gross domestic product, but really, if you think about it, construction is the foundation. I know it's kind of cheesy to say this, but construction is the foundation for all of the Commonwealth's economic activity and all the nation's economic activity, right? You can't have people working in a factory if you haven't built a factory first. You can't have data centers operating if you haven't built the data center first. You can't have power going into homes or to schools or to police stations if you haven't built that power plant first. So construction does all that. And unlike some other segments of the economy, it's not like you can build that power plant in China, in Mexico, in the Philippines, and then kind of ship it over. It's still and always will be a labor-intensive industry in the United States. And again, our preference would be to populate it with young men and women or men and women who are born in the United States, but we know that's going to take a little bit of time to get that pipeline back in place.
Now, you mentioned that the construction industry is going to need almost 500,000 new workers in 2025. There is one program that helps bring in foreign workers. It's the H-2B visa program. Talk about some of the benefits of that, but also some of the shortfalls of that.
Sure. H-2B visa is a current temporary work visa program that's available for many sectors of the economy for what the immigration officials call low-skill jobs, which basically means not college-educated jobs, but we wouldn't call a carpenter or an equipment operator low-skilled in the construction industry. The challenge is that in any given year, we only give out between 60 or 120,000 H-2B visas nationwide. And the vast majority of those visas go to people working in the hospitality industry. So people working in ski resorts or people working in, the beach resorts. If you go out to, the beach in the summer, you're going to find some Eastern Europeans working in the grocery stores. They're probably on an H-2B visa. Only about 6,000 to 10,000 visa H-2B visas in any given year go to construction. And for an industry that employs over 8 million people nationwide, yes, we'll take the 10,000 visas, but that's not really having a big impact on the industry's labor needs.
All right, so in the immediate future, you need these construction workers. What are the construction companies doing to get these workers?
Well, they're spending, sure, our member firms, our construction firms around the country, they're spending a lot more of their money on creating in-house training and workforce development programs. They're ready to take people who have no construction skills and are willing to learn and can pass a drug test. That's still an important part of the construction industry, and are willing to show up on time every day and train them with the skills they need to be successful, high-paid construction professionals. So they're investing in training. They're also building partnerships with local school districts to help kind of create those career and technical education programs, donating equipment, material, supplies, you name it. And then also, you know, they're reaching out to their members of Congress and talking to them about how we need to have a more rational workforce development policy in place in this country. We need to boost investments in career and technical education. We need to do that in Washington. We need to do it in Richmond. We need to do it in county and city offices around the country. And at the same time, we need some kind of a temporary, lawful, trackable, taxable work visa program. We kind of refer to it as H2C, C for construction, like an H2C like visa program. And then we need to figure out what we're going to do with those undocumented workers who've otherwise been responsibly engaged in economic activity for years now. How do we get them on some kind of path to legal status so that we can track them and we can tax them as well?
Well, here's your chance. There's a lot of folks, especially in high school and maybe even out of high school and in maybe thinking about going to college or going to college, tell them if they're on the fence, because I hear it all the time. I don't know what I want to do when I grow up, or I don't know what I want to do later on in life. You know, a lot of folks, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, they really don't know. So try to convince them to go into construction.
Well, look, you know, it's the ultimate team sport, right? You are involved working with a team, solving challenges and different types of challenges on a daily basis. No matter what kind of interest you have, there's a role for it in construction. We need computer programmers. We need robot operators. We need people who like being outside. We like people who are experts at marketing, accounting, engineering, you name it. We need everything you can think of. And the great thing about construction is that it is one of the industries in this country where the American dream still lives. You show up hard, you work hard every day. More often than not, those people are going to make it up the ranks and be part of the leadership team. And many actually go out and create their own firms. And then the other thing to think about is it's the only line of work that I'm aware of where no matter what level you're at, you spend your weekends driving your friends and family around and showing them your building. That's my highway. That's my airport. That's my office building. There's a tremendous pride that comes with working in construction that, look, I've never taken anyone to my office and showed them something, you know, memo I wrote last week and said, isn't that a great memo? But every construction worker takes people around and shows them what they've worked on. And if folks want to learn more and they want to scratch that itch, they want to find out how you get into construction, they want to find out about some of these workforce policies, if they even want to let Washington know that they should be investing in career and technical education and creating the temporary work visa programs, so we can track and tax workers while we rebuild that domestic pipeline, they can all go to workforcedoneright.org. Again, workforcedoneright.org. And all the information that they need is right there, including how to tell their member of Congress to put in place a better workforce policy so our communities can continue building and growing.
Very good. Brian Termeil, Vice President of Public Affairs and Workforce at the Associated General Contractors of America. If they want to find out more information about the Associated General Contractors of America, what can they do?
They can find out. They can go to, you know, our main home webpage at agc.org, or if they want to learn more about workforce opportunities, just go to workforcedoneright.org.
Anything else you want to add or anything I should have asked?
No, the only other thing I would add is that when we think about having workforce needs, you know, workforce needs in this industry, what that means is we want to make sure that communities around the country have that ability to grow and to develop, to build that new school, to build that new, retail complex, to build those new offices and factories that are a sign and a symptom of economic growth and prosperity. And having the right people really allows us to be able to do that.
Very good. Brian Termeil, he is the Vice President of Public Affairs and Workforce at the Associated General Contractors of America. Thank you very much for the time and the information, and good luck moving forward.
Thanks. We could use it, and I appreciate it. Nice chatting with you, Mara.